This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 146 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
See, I didn't do a funny voice.
I know.
I didn't try to mix it up at all.
That's why I went right into my name. You know, I didn't feel the need.
I wanted to point it out to you that I didn't try to do something weird or different.
Right. And that's why I, like, rolled with it. I'm like, okay, we're just going normal tonight.
We're
not going to be an old-timey barker.
You should have acknowledged the fact that I did this normal.
Nope. You should rescind your application to character acting school.
I want to do, like, ring announcing.
Yeah. Okay. Just want to do that. For midget mud wrestling?
Any type of wrestling.
Okay.
I would do midget mud wrestling.
What about boxing?
Sure.
UFC?
Yep.
Okay.
I can do it all.
Kickboxing?
Combat sports. I want to do combat sports.
Kumite?
Kumite. Oh, shite. So it is Wednesday night, the 30th day of January.
Yeah.
Already January's coming to an end tomorrow. Kind of crazy.
I'm okay with that.
Why? Oh, you hate winter.
I really hate winter.
It's been cold, huh?
Yeah.
Not
as cold as Chicago. 51 below with the wind chill.
Yeah, that's pretty cold.
It's where your eyeballs freeze. That is a temperature where your eyeballs freeze.
Okay, well, but here's what. Okay, if you look at that same weather map, I think it was Keith Carson or something from News Center 6 here in Maine. He had the weather map, and he had the temperatures up in Canada. And there's a town up in Canada where the actual air temperature was negative 50. Not the wind chill. The air temperature was.
That's just insane.
And he circled it, and he just wrote, like,
nope.
No, he circled it, and he wrote, crap, Game of Thrones, White Walkers. He goes, he's like, this is where the White Walkers are coming from.
I believe that.
They've already been there.
That's crazy. Yeah, I heard some place in North Dakota got to, like, negative 76 with the wind chill today.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've had some really cold temperatures, and we've had some negative temperatures from the wind chills and everything. And I know, and I burned about 130 gallons of oil in 3 weeks.
Holy crap! What do you keep your thermostat at?
67 nonstop.
Hmm.
We don't raise it. We don't lower it. Constant 67, 24 hours.
God, you are a dad.
Why?
Because that's a dad thing to do. Don't touch the thermostat.
Okay, no, this has nothing
I've
to
got
do
this
with,
set exactly where I want.
It has nothing to do with
you guys. Don't pay for the fuel. I pay for the fuel. Well, you don't understand the way that it works.
First of all, that's all 100% true.
Yeah.
But what it is when you lower the air, I put it down to 58 at night when I go to bed. Okay, well then everything in your house gets down to 58 degrees.
Nah, it gets colder than that.
But you know what I mean though. Like the temperature of your couch, of your furniture, of everything is 58 degrees.
I'm not worried about my couch dying of cold.
So then when you put the thermostat up to 67 to warm it up in your house when you get up that morning, sure, the air temperature rises that, but the temperature of all your surfaces is still at 50 degrees. That has to warm up as well, so it actually causes your furnace to run more. So if you just leave it as a constant 67, you have a good level flow, you don't burn as much oil. Or a constant 70 or a constant 72. If you leave it at one temperature and don't raise or lower the thermostat, you do not burn as much oil as if you raise and lower the thermostat.
Are you saying that based on scientific evidence or based on your experience?
My experience.
Okay.
I did some test running.
Really?
Yes. I did some test running, and I checked it out, and I determined, you know, if you just left it at one temperature, it did not raise or lower the amount of oil that you used.
Hmm.
And I took into consideration, like...
Wait, you said it doesn't raise or lower the amount of oil that you used.
But, it doesn't raise the amount of oil that you use.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess you do use less oil. I apologize. But what I mean is, if you don't raise or lower the temperature, you just use less oil than if you raise or lower there. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
Yeah. I even took into consideration, like, we had an extra cold week that week this year. Like, I actually, I tracked this. Because I was curious. Because someone had said this was true, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to find out for myself. And it made sense.
It was true?
Yeah. And, like, I also found that, because the first year I did it, I left it on 65 constant. And I found that during the day that was fine, but at night it was actually too cold in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So if we left it, then the next year we tried 67. And it's actually, some nights it's too warm. Like in bed, like you have too many blankets on type of thing. But we don't use as much oil as when I was raising and lowering it.
Gotcha.
Because I went by gallons, obviously, not price.
Right, right. So thank you for tuning in to this old house.
I didn't build anything. Ask if this old house works. That was a good 5 minutes. You know, a good 5 minutes well spent.
Eh. I was going to let it go a good 5 minutes, but...
Hey, we bring you more than just what we didn't watch this week.
That's right. Which is big.
There's
a lot that I didn't watch.
Well, we recorded, last Friday?
Yeah.
And since that time, I worked two 16-hour shifts and a 10-hour shift. Plus, I had to sleep. And Royal Rumble. Was 7 hours long from pre-show to the end.
Why?
It just was.
Alex walked up to me in the store and he goes, Rumble tonight? I went, I don't know. What? He goes, Royal Rumble. I go, oh, I have no idea. No, I don't know. And then he comes back up to me and he goes, I bet you were wondering if I meant like, you know, Sharks and Jets. I'm like, no. Nope.
I don't get that second reference.
The Sharks and Jets having a rumble, you know?
Yeah. Did you watch Flash?
Not last night's. Okay. But the week before that you hadn't watched.
I haven't watched Flash. I haven't watched anything CW since it came back.
Yeah.
Alex had said something and I was going to read it to you, but I can't because it's on the phone we're recording on now, so.
Oh, okay.
Maybe next week.
Okay.
It was like a background character he saw and he thought there was a connection to the comic book with this group and he was wondering if we were going to see them appear and sings or something like that. And I don't remember everything he wrote.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So. And you were watching Rumble and working and sleeping, and I had Resident Evil 2 that came out. And
how many hours of that did you play?
8.
Oh, so, yeah.
I played 8. I beat the campaign, the first campaign. But they were also having the VIP demo weekend for Anthem, which I had pre-ordered, so I sunk a lot of hours into that.
Yeah,
so I've been preoccupied as well. Plus, yesterday, Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. I mean, I'm swamped with games right now.
And I've had schoolwork. I had to do a lot of schoolwork to finish up the week last week. I've already started my schoolwork this week, obviously. I mean,
and as we've established, I can't watch shows at work. Although, I kind of tried something today. Like, I had my phone sitting on my desk, like, at an angle so that I could kind of see the screen. And, like, I'd stand up and look around and nobody else could see it. And I was able to listen to it on a headset, which was good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll actually be able to watch shows that I need to watch, but I don't know. So, yeah, my list is fairly low this week. And by fairly low, I mean really low. Because the other thing is, not a lot comes out on Monday. Like, our big day is Thursday.
Yeah, it really is.
Wednesday and Thursday is really, and I mean, it's Wednesday we're recording now.
Yeah.
And Thursday is when a lot of the shows come out.
So, I mean, I except for the DC shows, I had pretty much caught up in everything last week up until Friday when we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, really, like you said, nothing really has been on.
Did you watch The Good Place, though? Because
I did watch The Good Place.
Okay, because you hadn't watched that
last Thursday. And I did watch The Good Place.
Good. Good.
Made notes about it.
Yep. There's that one. I mean, I watched some of the CW shows. Obviously, if you haven't watched them, I'm not going to go into too much detail, but.
Was The Rookie on this week?
I don't know.
What night is that on?
I think it's on Wednesdays.
Oh, so it'd be on.
Because it wasn't showing up on Hulu as one of my, you know, new episode available now.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it wasn't in mine either. But, like, The Good Doctor came up, New Amsterdam came up.
Yep.
I didn't watch either one of those.
I watched The Good Doctor. it wasn't bad. It was about couples and relationships, and they had an autistic couple who weren't really a couple. It was a girl who was very autistic, and her roommate was a guy who was very autistic, and, like, you know, she needed a test, and he's like, he got up and left, and they're like, where are you going? He goes, hey, it's 12:30. I have to get home to watch Judge Judy. And they're like, she needs you here, and he's like, but I have to get home to watch Judge Judy. You know, it was interesting to see them like that. But, you know, at one point she's just sitting there and she's like crunching her hand and they're trying to calm her down. She goes, can you have him come back? They're like, oh, do you miss him? She goes, no, I want to have sex so that I can have an orgasm. I think an orgasm would help me relax. And so, yeah, if you could just have him come back. Do the curtains close in here? Yeah. Because, you know, it's just matter of fact for them. It's not like there's no shame involved or anything. Oh, it's a matchbox under my foot.
We have a lot of them now. Yeah, this really is more of a what didn't I watch this week? Fair enough. I mean, I didn't watch any more Punisher. I didn't watch any more Luther. I didn't watch any more You're the Worst.
I did watch You're the Worst.
I just haven't had time. I just haven't had time right now.
You're the Worst had an opening that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because basically they're talking about a venue. They tested out a venue. We get an opening of them banging on a pool table. And she's like, come on, Jimmy, do it. Do it harder. And he's like, that's not helping. So she starts, like, talking foot stuff.
Yeah.
And he starts getting off. She's like, oh, yeah, taking my shoes off and stretching my arches. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And he, bam, that both of them, you know, the eyes roll back up in the head. And they're like, let's go, go, go. And they both run out. They're, like, zipping up their pants. And they're like, 3 minutes and 54 seconds. Yeah, we beat our record. And there's a woman sitting over in the corner. And they're like, okay, so, yeah, we like this. What can you do for a down payment? But then Jimmy's, like, looking at the price. He's like, oh, my God, this is stupidly expensive. And Gretchen's like, just put it on a credit card. And he's like, I don't want to put it on a credit card. She opens up her wallet, and, like, seven of them drop out, and she picks them up. And she's like, just pick one of these and put it on there. And he's like, how many credit cards do you have? She goes, at once? I don't know, like 30 or 40. And he's like, what did he say? He goes, you're 50-50 with flushing the toilet. How do you remember to pay a credit card bill every month? And I just lost it at that point. And she's just like, you don't have to pay him. It's just fake money anyway.
Oh, God.
And so suddenly he realizes I'm marrying into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a great show.
Not to pay him.
You're 50-50 with flushing the toilet. I love that.
So what's funny is last week we didn't talk about Manifest at all.
No,
we watched two episodes of it.
But we mentioned it at the end. People might have missed it because we had already signed off, and they were like, "Oh, by the way."
And then we just watched Manifest again because apparently our routine now is for you and me and the wife to sit down and watch Manifest and continue to discuss: do we actually like the show or not? We hate the little boy.
Well, you and I do.
Yeah, my wife thinks he's cute. He's not.
And he's a sickly little boy. I'm nicer to him. She's incorrect.
Yeah, she is. Josh Dallas playing Ben Stone. He's terrible.
He is terrible.
His wife is even worse.
Yes.
But, you know, Grace.
Yeah, his wife is like a Natalie Morales wannabe.
Yeah. The acting on this show just isn't good.
No, it's not.
Plain and simple.
And the plot of the show is taking way too long to give us any kind of answers.
Mm-hmm.
They keep saying the callings, but they're not even callings. They're voices in their heads or images in their heads.
Right.
And they just keep adding to the mystery without giving us any answers. You know, now we've got dark lightning involved, which is a rare phenomenon that Mike actually looked up on his phone and said, oh, it's true. And
yeah,
he held up the phone to show
God,
us.
Oh, that's right.
And there were these Google images of dark lightning. And like 5 seconds later in the show, we see somebody's got a room set up that they're studying dark lightning. And
the
all
pilot.
Those Google images
were
framed on his wall. It was hilarious because they were the very first ones that come up when you Google dark lightning. So way to go, NBC.
I mean, that is actually
way to break the bank on that one.
That is actually pretty tremendous.
So they keep, like, you know, they added the Major. And what's the Major doing? They've added Dark Lightning. And they're not giving us any answers whatsoever.
And the questions they're asking aren't really good anyways.
No.
Yeah.
No, they're really dumb. And I gotta say, like, the kid not only is a shitty actor and a little twat, but he can do things, like, we're not talking like superpowers. We're talking he had to get to a cabin out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So he drew pictures of everything around there so that his family would, you know, get the message, including putting a secret message under the drawer of his sister's desk, because that's where they always hide stuff. And that's so he put a message there so that she could get it to them. And then he took a bus, 10-year-old kid, took a bus out to the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
Then got a ride with some guy. He said, like, Gary or Devin or something. Oh, I got a ride with him.
Whatever.
And then I walked down this road a couple of miles out to this house. And he knew that there was going to be some guy there and that the guy was going to be cold. So he brought a hat and gloves and a jacket, but nothing for himself. And then just sat there shivering the whole time.
Right. Yeah.
He got all the way there.
Yep.
Without telling them where he was going.
Yep, he found a way there, and then he just sat there shivering because he didn't bring enough clothes for himself.
Yeah, and they were like, did you have a calling, buddy? It told me I was supposed to be here. Okay. Yeah. No, you beat that child.
Yeah.
You say, this is unacceptable. Pretty the last much, time you did know. This, you showed up. Now, granted, he saved those people, but he showed up in the middle of a hostage negotiation / shootout. And he was just like, Dad, I can help.
Right, there was a shootout.
Yeah.
God, that was terrible.
So this kid needs to be beaten soundly.
Oh, yeah, very, very much so.
Locked in his room.
Very much so.
This is ridiculous. He makes me angry.
I can tell. So they found a fella the guy that meets up with him in the cabin, by the way, he disappeared in a cave for a year.
But to him, it was only 2 weeks.
For him, it was like 2 weeks. So he had his own type of incident.
Hmm.
And then, of course, like, he had a magazine with him of all the people that disappeared from the flight. And the only picture he didn't burn was Ben's sister's picture, the female cop. I can't remember her name. Fuck it.
Michaela. Or Mick.
Mick, sure. So he didn't burn her picture.
Eyebrows.
And that was the only thing that kept him going for those 2 long weeks. And then when he woke up, of course, there she is. So that freaks him out. And then he finds out he's been missing a year, and that freaks him out. But he's cool with that, too, because it's only been 2 weeks to him.
Right.
And then everyone leaves but Michaela and him. And in this episode we just watched tonight, they...
Every time they touch, they're magically transported to a terrible soundstage that has some of the worst special effects of a night sky in the desert.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
And they keep hearing first him, then her say, go back.
Yeah, they're pretty
go
bad.
Go back.
It's pretty bad.
If this was a real calling, if this was like destiny, it would probably give more of a message than go back. Because they touched each other several times, and every time all they heard was, go back.
Yeah.
Go back. Where do we go back to?
And I want to go back. Go back.
Go back to bed. You know?
All over, but I can't go back. I know. Yeah, I don't know if I like this show. I'll just leave it at that. We're up to episode 13. There's 5 more on the books. I don't know if they're going to air them all or not. I'm pretty sure they're going to cancel this
train
shitty thing.
Yeah. They're not giving us any answers. They're not.
Oh, and they also introduced a new hate group now that hates them. And it's currently spray painting their doors with an X to mark them. Yes.
They're called the Sons of Liberty. Oh, no.
No, that was on Supergirl.
They also spray painted doors with X's, but it was like invisible paint, remember?
Yeah.
Because they were smart. You had
to have special glasses to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, because this hate group thinks that, you know, maybe they're aliens or terrorists.
Yeah, they need to be investigated.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches.
Yeah. Terrible. So I got to say,
my God, I literally watched nothing else. I did, but nothing else that we normally watch.
Right. Charmed took a hard left turn. When they went on their little hiatus for a few weeks, like most of the CW shows did, they left it on this massive cliffhanger because they had spent a couple episodes building up that there was this scythe. And it was shattered into 3 pieces, and they were all being protected in different areas. But, of course, you know, they all came back to this one area. And when the 3 pieces were put together, it formed the Scythe of Tartarus, and it was the only way to open a path to Tartarus, which is where demons send other demons to be tortured for all eternity. And the cliffhanger was that, you know, one of them used the scythe as a staff and open a portal to Tartarus so that this one demon kid could be knocked down there, but then their white light are not taken down as well, and they're like, oh, and how are they going to get him back? They only have the top part of it. they don't have the whole thing. Well, then they come back from break. It was kind of like one of those, you know, where you Kathy Bates in Misery, you know, when she was like, they didn't jump out of the car.
Oh, yeah. Shenanigans.
Yeah. So they come back, and they basically discover in one episode, half the episode, there's a demon that runs a shop down the street, and he actually, like, his hand can turn into this key that opens up that door over there, and that door goes to Tartarus. So, you know, we could just talk to him about getting people out. It was bullshit. It was just absolute bullshit.
Boo!
Yeah. Yeah. So, they took a hard left, and they lost me on that one.
Yeah, I can see why.
So, I don't care about that show.
I watched, I don't know how many episodes I've watched, but I've watched episodes of The Passage.
There have been three so far.
I think, was the pilot episode two episodes?
Nope.
Okay, so I've watched three then, I believe.
Okay.
I watched the pilot.
The third episode is where they're actually at the house. They've been taken in. And we get the backstory of the blonde girl. The blonde vampire girl.
I know, then there was, the pilot episode was a double episode then.
No, it was not.
Okay, because then I must have only watched two, because the last thing I remember is...
The second episode was called You Owe Me a Unicorn.
Yeah, that's probably all I've watched then.
Oh.
I probably watched the first two then.
Okay.
Yes, because... the one I ended is Mark Paul Gosselaar there. He takes the little girl to his friend's house, who was in the Navy with him,
mm-hmm.
the black woman,
mm-hmm.
and she's killed, mm-hmm. and they're taken at the end.
Yep.
That's all I've seen.
Okay. There was a new episode on Monday, and it was...
Okay.
Awesome.
I gotta say, I really dig how they're doing the vampires on this show.
Yes.
And unlike the little boy on The Manifest, who's god-awful terrible,
yeah.
The little girl here on this show is awesome.
She is.
She's
totally believable.
She plays Amy Belafonte, this Sania Sydney, or something mm-hmm. like that. She's 12, apparently. She's great.
She really is. She's totally believable. She really gets into the character. You enjoy seeing her on the screen again.
Right.
I've now seen the third episode, and she's just great.
I mean, she's a great little actress.
Yep.
And, like you said, believable. I like it when she calls, like, his ex-wife or whatever it is, and she's like, I think he's dead.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and then she's explaining how to do a sternum rub, which is hilarious. I have a hilarious sternum rub story.
She basically tells her, you know how to do a noogie? Do that into his chest really hard.
She does, yeah, but she was great. You know, she's like, like when they get in the car and he's mad at her for calling,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, well, you said you weren't going to leave me. Passing out is leaving me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't obnoxious the way she said it. It was concerned. She's like, look, we have a deal. You're not going to leave me. I'm not going to leave you. We're in this together.
Yep.
And that's basically why when he goes out to surrender himself to basically die so she can get away, she comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take them both away.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, the third episode is great.
Yeah.
There's none of this bullshit of, you know, oh, as they're being transported, they get away or anything like that.
Right.
No, they're taken back to the house, I'll tell you that. And you get to see the blonde vampire there, the girl,
yep.
you get to see her story of why she was on death row.
Okay.
And it's told in flashbacks throughout the episode. It's great. This was a great episode.
Honestly, I'm really enjoying the story so far. Based on the trailer I saw for it, I didn't put much stock into this.
I almost didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I was like, screw this.
I kind of watched it on a lurk. Like, I'd heard a lot of good stuff about it. So I said, screw it. I put it on. I wanted to watch something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. I was really impressed with it. Kind of was surprisingly good to me.
Yeah,
I grew up watching, you know, Saved by the Bell, so, you know, Mark Paul Gosselaar, and he was the action movie recently he was in last year that was really good, the direct-to-video one, if you want to call it, or
okay. He was also in Franklin and Bash, which I enjoyed quite a bit.
Oh, I thought he was great in Franklin and Bash. I think his worst role was probably the college years.
Yeah.
And that was everybody's, though.
Right. That shouldn't have happened.
It really shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Anyhow,
I'm a good really story. I'm digging this, like you said, how they do the vampires. You know, basically that they found this person who was alive far beyond he was supposed to be.
Yep.
And the blood sample that he has essentially cures diseases, but it robs people of their ability to talk and do anything other than drink blood. But the younger they are, the more of their
sanity. Oh, so they can't talk?
Well, think about it. Like, she never talks, you know, the blonde woman.
I just thought they didn't want to.
Well, maybe. That could be.
Because, like, I know.
Talk in dreams.
And, yeah, when he's in their minds in dreams, you know, they do talk. I did notice that.
Yeah.
I like how you had the jerk employee that was tormenting her. And I'm like, why are you tormenting a vampire?
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially when there's an open cell and mm-hmm. then you stand too close to it. Like, and then he throws the, and the other guy that's always like, come on, cut it out, leave her alone. This is not what we're supposed to do. Yeah, blah, blah. And the guy that's being cool, he throws his badge in there. And so he, you know, trepidatiously reaches in to get it, rightfully so, being afraid, and she does nothing. And then the other guy's like, oh, she didn't do anything to you. You're nice to her. I'm a dick. I'm going to walk real close to the gate and then look away at the last minute. And yeah, and then, you know, he's dead.
And the great part is that they bring that back up in the third episode. Like,
do they?
There's a whole room of them sitting around watching the footage, and they've got that guy yeah. who lived. And they're like, you know, why do you think this happened? And he's like, because he was a dick. And they're like, yeah, actually, he was. He was a complete dick to them. And then yeah. they're like, well, wait a minute. So you're saying this was revenge? Like, they're starting to conceptualize the fact that
they just assume that
they were just
killing to kill.
Yeah,
yeah.
But they're like, wait, so. They might be thinking. Yeah. So it's cool that, yeah, I'm digging the show.
Yeah, it's a definitely, I think what I like about it so much is that it is a completely different approach to vampirism than yep. we've ever seen.
And they keep saying over and over again, they're not vampires.
They're you vampires.
Know? Yeah. They're like, we're not calling them vampires. We're scientists. Vampires yeah. don't exist.
Right.
Well,
but they have the sign that says if you
wax like a duck.
If you have, you know, sensitivity to light.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it.
Me too. I actually, it's become one of those shows that I look forward to each week. I'm like, oh, that's on.
So we watched, my wife and I, we watched Vanished. It was on History Channel.
I don't know that one.
Okay. So I'm trying to see if, I don't see, even see it here to tell you about it.
Okay.
But,
did the review vanish?
Yeah. Basically, this guy talks about how, and it's mostly national parks, people just seem to disappear. They just, and we don't know why. And they apparently seem to disappear out in the middle of nowhere. And so, where is it?
I don't know.
It's okay. I found it.
Okay.
Former police detective Dave Paul Dees investigates extraordinary mystery cases about missing persons in national parks.
So this is supposed to be based on real life?
Yes, okay. It is supposed to be on real life. And it was like 2 hours long, or hour and a half or whatever. And apparently, I thought it was going to be a series, but it looked like it was just like the one episode now. And ultimately, the conclusion he comes to, and I'm just going to ruin it for you, is that there are portals that apparently can open up and people walk through. And that's why they disappear.
Interesting. You know what's really interesting about that? Unlike Manifest, he didn't take 13 fucking episodes to tell you that.
No, he didn't. And so it was almost kind of a disappointment.
I get that, but yeah. it must have, like, at the same time, it must have been a little good to have some kind of an answer. Even if you don't agree with it.
I know when he told the family this is what he thought happened, their response is actually like, oh, okay. Because they want anything. They want right. to believe anything.
Right.
Because their loved one's been missing for 20 years yep. or whatever it is. And the wife and I both kind of dozed off a couple of times while watching this.
Okay.
So this was last Saturday. So, like, when I should have been doing schoolwork or whatever, she's like, oh, have you seen that? We're flipping through, and she's like, have you watched that Project Blue Book yet? No, but John says it's good, and I do want to check it out. She's like, we should watch an episode. I was like, all right. 3 episodes later.
It's a great show.
It's a really great show.
Yeah.
She's like, who is that guy? I recognize that guy. Who is that guy? I'm like, I know. I'm trying to remember. Oh, it's Littlefinger. And she's like, yes.
And the guy that he's with, I can't remember, Captain yeah. or whatever. He was apparently on the Vampire Diaries.
Okay.
Probably in the later seasons because I don't recognize him. But
those that don't know. Project Blue Book's on history. It's not a reenactment show. It's not like... No, it's not. It's not
fully reenactment, but it's based on...
No, it's not a reenactment show where, like, they're doing a narrative over... And they have really bad actors reenacting a scene.
True. It's a dramatization.
It's a drama. It's a TV show based on historical events.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not treated like a documentary series or the docu-series or fake series with reenactments or this or that or narratives or whatever.
I'm just thinking of the end of the episode. There's always like that minute or two where they show you the old footage and they tell you what they took out of Project Blue Book that right. explains what the episode's based on.
Right. Yes.
So it, like, when you say it's based on history, it's not just
same thing on the Goldbergs.
Right.
Okay. So, but you know, Goldbergs is a comedy sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
This is a drama series, but it's based on actual events. It's a lot more. It's like when Law and Order goes ripped from the headlines, except right. they don't take dramatic liberties like Law and Order does. So basically, Project Blue Book, it's a very solid show. The character, the lead character, is Dr. J. Allen Hynek. Mm-hmm. And again, Project Blue Book was a real thing from 1952 to 1969.
Yep.
Prior to that, they had other studies include Project Sign, which was 1947 to 1949, and Project Grudge, which was 1949 to 1952. So all in all, the Air Force, the government, had three official programs or studies that were based on UFOs, basically. They didn't call them UFOs when this started.
Right.
But that was Hynek's actually terminology.
Exactly.
But it was based on unexplained phenomena in the sky type of thing. And it ran for 20 years. I mean, 1947 to 1969, so 22 years. And Hynek was involved in every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was on the original plans. And then as those things canceled, he got invited back or recruited or whatever it is. And it's funny because initially when he started doing this back in 1947, his job and he was to debunk all this stuff.
Right.
No matter what the case. But then at some point.
He was the Scully.
Yeah. But at some point he became the Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
And in Project Blue Book is when he's become the Mulder because he's like, wait a second. Rather you think it's real or it's not real, we're not investigating things properly.
Right.
And over time, he began to turn, and then he became a UFO authority, and there's just too much stuff that he witnessed, too much data he put together that made him think, okay, you know, all this stuff is made up. Nothing can be explained away every single time. It's kind of like Oak Island.
Mm-hmm.
On a recent episode of Oak Island, I think it was Marty that actually said, you know, if there's no buried treasure here, maybe there isn't any buried treasure here, but something went on this island. There's way too much stuff on here. There's way too many things going on for nothing to have happened on this island. And that's kind of what this doctor came to the conclusion of. Like, you know, okay, maybe some of these things can be explained away easy enough. However, certain of these things can't be. And that's what it kind of came down to. So the first episode is the Fuller dogfight.
Mm-hmm.
Hynek is this is the pilot. This is where he gets recruited by the Air Force, but he's kind of for this new project. And this case is about a military pilot who swears he had a dogfight with an alien aircraft.
Yep.
And they explain this one away saying it was by the balloon.
Which I felt in this one, they did not fully explain it away. Like the lieutenant tried to.
Yeah.
And, you know, he tried to replicate it, but it didn't, like, it didn't fulfill all the criteria. Like, the slashes on the plane's wings, it looked similar.
Yep.
But he also couldn't do what the pilot said that he had done.
Exactly, yeah.
And he crashed.
And I feel like this is kind of the catalyst where he's just like, look, whether we believe what he said or not, we're not investing in this fully. And you're just dismissing this as this because you want to close the case to close it.
Yep.
We haven't given this a thorough investigation.
And the lieutenant's like, yeah, I want to close it.
Yeah, exactly. That's our job.
But we also have this whole thing of the doctor is seeing this strange man in a trench coat and a hat.
Yes, the men in hats.
Yes.
It's kind of like the men in black, but it's the men in hats. That's
right. And he's seeing those, like, when the plane crashes, he sees one. Yeah. And then later on in the second episode, he sees another one. And, you know, yeah.
So, second episode, the Flatwoods Monster. Now, and here's the thing. The Fuller dogfight I wasn't familiar with. I hadn't read about in the past. However, both the Flatwoods Monster, episode 2 and episode 3, the Lubbock Lights, I'm familiar with.
Yes.
I'd heard about those in the past. The Flatwoods Monster, again, they're investigating a West Virginia case where a woman and her two children who witnessed a UFO crash near their farm and an alien being emerging from the fiery wreck, which they explain away as this old tree that an owl was sitting on top of. And that was convincing between the drawing they had and what the owl looked like actually pictured on the tree.
Yeah.
And it was a meteorite that came and crashed, and that's why there was a fireball and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And he explained that the reason why the children were having reactions around their eyes was because of, like, I'm going to say methane or sulfur or whatever it was, the chemical, some chemical coming off the meteor was affecting their eyes and the skin around their eyes. Right. And I'm like,
swamp gas.
Yeah. And it's almost just like he was satisfied with this.
Right.
You know,
it felt like they had explained it.
Yes.
Perfectly. Especially when you see the little clip at the end and they're like, you know, yeah. This was.
And then Lubbock Lights, again, they're brought to Lubbock, Texas, when citizens witnessed a mysterious V-shaped craft in the night sky. And again, I feel like this is one that they couldn't fully explain what it right. was. You know, this one guy's, oh, it's these birds, and then glowing off their stomachs, and it's yeah. just like, no. And then, you know, some of the experiences that they had, some of the things that they witnessed are unexplainable. So I kind of like the feel of the show where they literally go from one that they just sweep under the rug, one that they're able to explain away, and then one where they're not really sure what's going on, but we're kind of done looking at it. You know, mm-hmm. like it's unsolved, essentially.
Right.
I'm looking forward to watching future episodes. It was one on Tuesday night.
It's a good show.
Yeah. The cast is great. I love the fact it takes place when it does, back in the 50s like that,
mm-hmm.
because there's no cell phones, there's no internet. Like, it makes it
– right.
You just can't Google things, you know? Like,
right.
I love the world we live in today and the technology we have, but sometimes it just makes it – you can't have a good mystery because, I'll just Google search this, you know?
Yep.
So. Yeah, so the wife and I both like this show quite a bit.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it when I first started watching it, so I'm glad you guys have gotten into it.
Yeah, and I watched one movie this week, and that's it. Oh, Good Place.
Yeah.
Let's we mentioned it earlier, but we didn't talk about it.
Because this was the season finale. This was chapter 39.
Oh, it was the finale?
Yep.
Okay. Because we thought it was before.
Right. Okay. Nope, because they always do 13 episodes, so yep. That's why the season finale is 13, 26, now 39.
Okay.
So this was the finale.
So Eleanor's pretending to be the architect because Michael's having a breakdown.
He's having a mental breakdown, can't do anything, so she quickly thinks and says, I'm the architect, come on in.
And this first person they bring in is some sort of celebrity blogger that used to make Jahani's life miserable.
He is basically a Perez Hilton kind of
yes,
person.
Yes.
You know, he's, oh my God, I hate you, I love you, never come near me again, yes. Oh my God, let's go do brunch. And he
basically
recognizes Jahani immediately.
Yeah.
It says, oh my God, you're here. And yeah, he was a complete dick to her.
And basically he's like, who knew that we'd have to spend eternity with each other?
Yeah.
And Dahani's like, I'm not make this. And then the next person is Chidi's ex-girlfriend from Australia because she happened to die.
Yep.
And so they realize that the bad place is kind of cheating because they picked four people, which we don't know who two and three and four are.
Right.
But picked four people that had a connection that basically was the nemesis. Or the person that could ruin them.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be ruin them because Chidi's like,
yeah.
he's Mr. Indecisive, and now he's got his ex who won't recognize him, but he's also got Eleanor there.
Well, no, until they made the deal that they won't recognize him, going to.
Yeah.
And so they solve it by going, okay, we're going to erase, you know, him from her timeline. Because the judge thought that the bad place was being underhanded by bringing in somebody. Because essentially the goal is to have an unbiased look to see if they would change,
right.
But if they know people that are there, because they're not supposed to know anyone that's there, then that will affect the outcome.
Right.
So the caveat was the judge was going to erase her memory so she wouldn't know who Chidi was. However, Chidi couldn't handle that.
Yeah.
Because he would know, and so he had to have his memory erased.
Yeah, it was very profound. It wasn't just like a snap of the...
No.
You know, he said basically that he wouldn't be able to objectively teach these people to be good, teach them philosophy and stuff like that, knowing that that's what he was here to do.
Yeah.
He felt like he was cheating and he would never be able to do it sincerely and that with his ex in the picture, it would just drive him insane. So he very tearfully, basically, asked to have his memory erased so that he could be fresh.
And I feel like Eleanor went along with it because they needed to make this happen and because she had known that through all the different reboots, they always ended up together. So in her mind, they'll end up together again. Yes.
Yeah.
But they do a really kind of cool video package like that they show like on like a big screen.
Michael's going away gift to them.
Yes. And, you know, it's touching.
It's very touching.
Yeah.
Because there were some scenes that we remember.
Yes.
Some scenes we never saw.
Yeah.
You know, because they happen in other reboots that we never got to see.
And ultimately, in the end, Chidi got his memory erased, and Eleanor walks out, opens the door, and goes, Chidi, come on in.
Yep. And that's how we end it.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see.
Yep.
Show's great. It's a fun show.
Great.
Yeah.
I love it. Jason kind of talked to, what's her name there?
Janet.
Thank you. All I could think of was her real name, Darcy Carden.
I really love Janet.
Yeah. But Jason basically talked to her about that whole thing, you know, yeah. about how do you know if you love somebody versus, you know, it was,
yeah.
I really enjoyed this episode. I really liked the way that they took one thing, which was Chidi deciding to get his memory wiped, and they stretched it out through most of the episode, which normally I would hate, but they did it so well here, and you love these characters so much that it was beautiful the way that it was done. So you really felt for him. And like you said, we don't know who person three and person four are going to be.
Nope.
But chances are they'll have some kind of connection to Jason and Eleanor the way that it was going.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, the bad place has been stopped in their tracks and now it'll just be two random people.
Right.
But then this is going to open it up to now that Chidi has had his memory wiped and his ex is there who, when his memory was wiped last time, he fell in love with her.
Oh, that's well, but he wasn't around Eleanor and it was just the two of them.
But they also had a lot in common. They were both philosophy majors.
That's true.
So,
I guess we'll have to see what happens.
Well, that's the thing is there could be somebody that ends up down there who's a better match to Eleanor, you know? And so we could have,
fair enough.
I predict that we will have that kind of a conundrum.
Where Eleanor still loves Chidi, but Chidi doesn't know her and is falling for his ex, who he doesn't know is his ex, and she doesn't know that they're...
I saw that there's a new show coming out, and I didn't have many details on it, but Cal Penn is going to be starring in it, and it's from Michael Schur, who does The Good Place,
mm-hmm.
and Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I do like Cal Penn.
Yep.
He's funny.
And I'm pretty sure you like the works of Michael Schur. You know, Good Place.
I have enjoyed them so far.
Yep. Telling you, you still need to watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
The problem is, I don't disagree with you. Like, I want to watch you, but I haven't. But I don't have time right now.
Oh, I totally get that.
I barely have time to watch the shit I'm watching.
Right.
So.
Well, I'm telling you, if you're ever sitting there going, I can't really focus on anything. I just need something that's background noise and funny. Try Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think it definitely fits that bill, if you want it to.
Did you watch any other shows?
Just a movie.
What movie did you watch?
I watched Tag.
I watched Polar.
I put on Polar like three times, but I couldn't focus on it, so yeah. I stopped watching.
After you left Watch Week, I put it on. I was like, I'll start this movie and see what happens. I finished it.
I saw the opening scene, part of the opening scene, with Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, he gets killed.
I assumed he did, because I saw the guy setting up the gun. But so, you liked it?
Yeah, well, why don't you talk about Tag?
Why don't you talk about Polar?
Okay. So basically, Polar is about a hitman who... It's a neo-noir action film based on a comic book graphic novel. And basically, it's a hitman who's coming up on retirement because he works for an actual organization. And when they hit age 50, they're forced to retire. And they get their 401k, or they get their pension, which is based on how much they put in a matching thing that the company did. So it's kind of hilarious because it's not something you'd normally see with Hitman.
Right.
But basically, you know, in like 14 days, they got to pay, his name's not Polar in the movie, it's Duncan. They got to pay Duncan like $8
million. Okay.
And the guy doesn't want to pay it.
Why? That seems like a bad business choice.
His boss is a douche. And so he's actually having a meeting with these people about building. It's almost kind of like in Despicable Me where they have, like, not the League of Evil, but, like, you know, like, what's his face there? Gru. Goes to, like, these people to get a loan.
Oh, yeah, the bank.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's like the evil bank or whatever, to get a loan to do this, whatever, and he has to have this presentation. It's sort of like what this guy's doing. And he's like, well, I'll be able to pay you back because they'll be able to $29 million over da-da-da. How are you going to get that? And basically he's like, we have a lot of people coming up for retirement. And in the clause, if they're murdered before, if they die before the retirement, then all their money reverts back to the company. So his plan is to kill. That's why Johnny Knoxville was killed.
Gotcha.
Because he had retired. Because his plan is to kill all the people before their retirement. So that way the money reverts to them. And then he can use that money to pay off his debt. So.
Okay. I thought it was just a business deal where he was like, you know, I don't want to pay out. But if he's actually siphoning the money, then yeah, that makes more sense.
So, and Polar's is the biggest payout they've ever had because he's tucked away the most. So, I'm not going to give you away all the plot, all the details, because you should watch
it. Oh, I'm definitely going to watch it.
But that's the main one. And so he's coming up on retirement. They're going to try to kill him. You have the one person that's basically...
he doesn't want to die.
Yeah, you have the one person that's basically like, no, you just need to pay this guy and be done with it. You don't want to cross him. They cross him.
Big mistake.
Basically, yeah. You know, and it's good. I enjoyed it. There's some great killing. There's some great action in it. There's some boobs. Who doesn't like boobs, right?
Some people, I'm sure.
You like boobs, John. So
I
like
love boobs.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll like it.
I really do.
But the ending is sort of like, huh, I guess they're doing a sequel.
Oh.
Or they just want to leave it ambiguous like this.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I enjoyed it. You should
ambiguous
watch it.
Or cliffhanger?
No, not really a cliffhanger. Okay. Just sort of like...
I can deal with ambiguous.
Just sort of like, huh.
So that happened.
I mean, like, I guess they live happily ever after, or maybe they're going to go kill people, or I don't know.
Okay.
Camera's just panning away.
Huh. Okay.
Pulling away, I mean.
It's not like Sopranos where it just ends mid-sentence?
No. It's not like that where you're like, okay. Yeah, it's still, though. It's just kind of like, all right.
Okay.
Didn't see that.
Well, that's good.
I would assume a sequel's coming based on this, but we'll find out.
If they're doing the John Wick type thing, then, you know, absolutely.
So how was Tag?
So Tag, if I just had to sum it up and say, you know, whether it was good or bad, I friggin' loved it.
Yeah?
Honestly. Like, I expected this to just be a dumb movie. But it was great. So Tag is based on a real group of guys. And I'll tell you this, at the end, when the credits are running...
Hold on real quick. I did know that Jeremy Renner broke both arms before they... Like, he... When they started filming it. So, like, his arms are, like, digitally imposed through the whole movie, basically.
Yeah. So, as I was saying, in the credits at the end, you actually see video footage of these guys as grown men playing tag with each other. The way that it works is this. It's a group of, like, 10 guys. But yep. In the movie, it's just 5 of them. And they've been playing this game since they were kids, to the point where they've got, like, amendments and bylaws drawn up. You know, like, one of the first bylaws was no girls are allowed. Yeah. And then they've done amendments over the years to the rules. But every year from the beginning to the end of May is open season. So yeah. It's not like an ongoing all the time type of thing.
Yeah.
So from May 1st to May 30th, from May 1st at 12:01 a.m.
Yeah.
Till May 31st at 11:59 p.m., it's game on. If you are it at the end of that, you are the loser for a year. And somebody asks them, they're like, you know, well, what does that entail? They're like, well, you just suck. And they're like, well, yeah, but is there like a penalty? No. Who wants to be a loser? You just suck. That's it. You know, it's like they didn't think about this. So, like, they do all these crazy things. And the funny thing is, like, you watch them do some of this stuff. Like, you watch Ed Helms apply for a job at this company as a janitor. And the guy's sitting there, like, this is right in the beginning. And the guy's like, you're a professor of mathematics or something like that. And he's like, yep. And he goes, but you want to work here as a janitor. And he's like, yeah, I've always wanted to do this and blah, blah, blah. And it's just so that he could get in the same room as John Hamm and tag him because there's no tag backs. So,
So
that's another rule, no tag backs. So, you know, he does this whole thing. He like gets the job as a janitor and he like, he does this whole disguise thing and he's like cleaning up like, there's bagels and stuff on the counter, and he's cleaning them up as John Hamm is talking with this woman from the New York Times who's interviewing him.
Yeah.
And he's, like, making this really loud racket, and he's like, dude, can you come back at another time? And he's like, oh, I don't think so. Oh, my God. And, like, they go after each other, and he finally tags him, and he's like, there you go. And then John Hamm's like, you're fired. He goes, I quit. The benefits here were terrible anyway. He goes, no, they're not. No, you're right. They're really good. So, but the thing is, like, when you watch the credits at the end, you see the same things.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, he dresses up like a little old woman, and you see that these guys, like, they took their camera phones, and they took footage of themselves tagging their friends, and they did some of this stuff. So it's not like they just went, oh, let's go all out. They legitimately based it on these guys' tag game that has been going on for years.
That's cool.
So it's just for the 1 month, and Jeremy Renner has never been tagged in the whole time that they've played. And they ask, you know, they're like, well, how is that possible? And they're like, well, first off, he's ridiculously fast. And they show him as a kid, and he just, like, sonics his way out of there. And they're like, what the hell? And they're like, but if you ever do corner him, he goes feral. Like, you see one of the kids, like, stops him in high school. They're, like, in this room, and they're like, oh, I've got you now, Jerry. And he picks up one of those overhead projectors and just throws it right in his face. So he's never been tagged, and they've decided, you know, Ed Helms tells him, he's like, hey, Jerry's quitting after this year. He's quitting undefeated. We have to get this motherfucker. And so it's Ed Helms, it's John Hamm, it's Jake Johnson,
yeah,
who is the schlub of the group, of course, and it's Hannibal Buress, and then, of course, Jeremy Renner. Isla Fisher's in this quite a bit. She is the wife of Ed Helms,
yeah,
and she's not allowed to play because, A, she's
a girl,
and B, because she's way too intense, and she is. She gets way too intense in this. One of the coolest parts about this, though, is whenever Jeremy Renner is being attacked, they do the Sherlock Holmes thing.
Oh,
where suddenly,
yes,
time stops, and he'll just sit there and he'll face the camera, and like he's thinking his thoughts, and he'll be like, "I smell the faint odor of weed. It's chilly. He's coming up behind me," and like he looks down at his thermos and he sees the reflection of Jake Johnson coming at him, going, and he's like, he doesn't realize that I have scalding hot coffee in here, and he'll like open it up and splash him in the face, like,
oh my God.
And then like the action picks up for a second, and then it slows right down. And he's like, oh, John Hamm's coming at him. He's like, oh. His ego is going to get in his own way. And you hear John Hamm start thinking, and he's like, I've got it. I'm going to be the one. I'm finally going to tag it. Oh, my God. Where did he go? It's a riot. It is so much fun. Like, I had a blast watching this movie, honestly. I had to stop because I was watching it late at night, and I got really tired. And I was like, no, I need to stop because I don't want to force myself through this. I came back to it the next night, and I'm like, yes, I still loved it. So,
awesome.
Honestly, like, I thought it was going to be a throwaway movie. You got to check this out. It's
really, how'd you watch it? What format?
Which it's show? HBO.
On HBO, okay.
But definitely, I give this one a hard sell to everybody.
All right.
Do you watch any trailers or have any news?
I got some trailers to talk about, yeah. I sent you the edit. Okay, so on the January 28th, they released a 30-second teaser for Birds of Prey, which started filming on January 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
literally just people standing in front of the camera.
Yeah, basically. And you get to see, like, Harley Quinn in a different outfit.
Which people are losing their mind over and saying, this is not Harley.
Yeah, whatever. And you get to see flashes of Black Canary and Huntress and, I think, Victor Zsasza and Blind, you know, and whatnot.
Black Mask.
But it comes out in 2020. It released February 7th, 2020. And
Margot Robbie actually took to her Instagram page and posted a picture of herself in the Harley outfit and said, miss me, guys?
Yeah.
So they're promoing it early.
So, again, we have Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. Black Canary's in it. Huntress is in it. Mary Elizabeth Winstead's Huntress. You got Renee Montoya's in it. Cassandra Cain's in it. Ewan McGregor is playing Black Mask. Chris Messina is playing Victor Zsasza.
Zsasz.
So,
I hope that they do for. I hope that this version
supposed
of Zsasz,
to be R-rated.
Yeah, but they haven't confirmed that yet.
Yeah,
I'm really hoping that this version of Zsasz is closer to his comic book part than his Gotham part.
Yeah.
Because his Gotham part was a cool, calm, collected hitman, but Victor Zsasz in the comics was a fucking psychopath.
He was indeed.
Had hash marks all over his body for all of his victims, and you know, just didn't have superpowers. He was just a psychotic killer.
Are you going to buy Detective Comics 1000 for the historical relevance of it?
Probably not.
I'm just curious. Yeah, I am. I bought Action Comics 1000.
Mm-hmm.
So
thanks.
I was just curious. It was a great book.
Yeah,
it was great. They had a lot of great stories in it. Yeah. So
nice.
So I sent you this other trailer.
Yeah.
Called Eye of the Beholder, The Art of Dungeons & Dragons. And it's not about Dungeons & Dragons itself so much. It's actually about the artwork in the books. You know, the covers, you know, showing the dragons and the goblins and the creatures and the orcs and everything like that, you know. And it's the guy that made this movie also made Plastic Galaxy, The Story of the Star Wars Toys, which we loved.
Mm-hmm.
And that documentary was the gateway to the toys that made us.
Yep.
And this movie, the Art of Dungeons and Dragons, is being distributed by the company that produces the toys that made us. So it's all connected.
Yep.
I don't know when it comes out per se, but the trailer looked really cool, and I look forward to checking it out.
Yeah. I was a little disappointed when it wasn't more about Dungeons and Dragons than it was about the artwork.
Yeah.
I totally get it, but, like, I saw that first, and I was like, ooh, a D&D documentary, and then it kind of, like,
I thought it was going to be more about actual playing of Dungeons & Dragons as well. I saw the direction they went in, and I was like, that's still pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I'll still check it out.
Hopefully someone will be like, let's do one about actually playing Dungeons & Dragons.
It's a good time to do that because culturally there's a lot going on with it. You know, within the past couple of years, it's come out that Joe Manganiello.
Yeah.
Is a huge Dungeons & Dragons nerd. Vin Diesel is a huge Dungeons & Dragons nerd. And not to the point of like, oh, I have a character. Like, they actually have campaigns. They have character sheets. They have everything. There's Geek & Sundry hosted a show called Critical Role.
Yeah.
Where these guys sat around, and first it was like a podcast, but then they actually started doing the video stream. And you can listen to their early episodes where they had like 50, 100 people watching them. And now it's gotten to the point where it's so big that they've broken off Geek & Sundry and have their own network.
Yeah.
Because people just love their stuff. And all it is literally people just watching them play Dungeons & Dragons.
Which is cool.
It is cool.
I haven't played
There are a lot of voice actors.
I like to play again.
There are people who have done voice acting work in the past. Matt Mercer, their DM, is just phenomenal storyteller, and he really gets into the characters and stuff like that. So
awesome.
But yeah, so culturally, it would be a perfect time to really talk about the phenomenon of Dungeons & Dragons versus when we were growing up, and it had all the stigmas of nerd.
Freaking loser.
That Satan's tool. I mean, I
remember that too.
I had a friend who literally his father beat him because he found Dungeons and Dragons books in his house, and he was a hardcore Baptist, and he's like, this is the work of Satan.
Lame. And then I sent you the trailer for season 6 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which I meant it when I said interesting.
Yeah. It's obviously coming out after Avengers this summer. Coulson's dead at the beginning of the trailer, and he's back by the end of the trailer.
Yeah, in the beginning they say Phil Coulson is dead.
Yeah. And Mac is running the show. And May's there with him, and she's, I was there with him when he died. And then at the end you see Coulson again.
Yep.
And this seems to take place in space again?
I don't know. They're fighting maybe some aliens, which was kind of what I wanted in the first place. Not just Kree, but, you know, some actual spacefaring aliens.
Because they're in space trying to find...
Fitz.
Fitz, thank you. I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah, they say Fitz is in cryo sleep somewhere.
So they're trying to find him.
Yep. And Daisy goes in there in one point, and she's like, sorry, guys, it's girls' night or something like that. And then we see a fight scene. And it looks like a blonde. And I've tried watching it a couple of times, and I was like, did they bring Bobby back? But she's over on the Orville right now.
Right, right.
But then again...
They are in space.
They are. And S.H.I.E.L.D. comes out this summer.
Yeah.
So maybe there wasn't a conflict there.
Maybe it's somebody else.
Maybe.
I don't know. But I don't know. It was interesting.
Yep. I mean, I'll definitely watch the show, of course.
Yeah.
It's still weird that we... Like, it's coming out this summer, and this past fall... is when they announced that season 7 will be coming out. And they hadn't they weren't even done filming season 6.
Yeah, that was odd.
As long as they can do some good stories like they did with the LMDs and Ghost Rider.
That was good.
It was a good season.
Yeah, when they broke it up like that was really good.
This past season, it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't...
The way it ended, I was like, they should end the show.
Mm-hmm.
The way it ended, they should have ended the show.
Yes,
so
it should have been done right there.
They're going to have to do quite a bit for season 6 to make me be like... It's almost like they come back for two... Well, Scrubs came back for one season too many.
Yes.
Is S.H.I.E.L.D. coming back for two seasons too many?
Possibly.
We'll see.
And it's in the summer, so...
Yeah. I don't have any other trailers. Do you have any?
I don't. No, this was a really light week.
I have a couple of pieces of news.
Pieces of news?
Pieces of news.
Okay.
And I already know how you're going to feel about this, and that's fine.
You already know?
Or? Yeah, I do.
Okay.
So, Jay and Silent Bob reboot. It's happening.
Yeah. And it's, well...
He's beginning filming on February 25th, 2019, which is 1 year from the day when he had his heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And Saban Films has acquired U.S. theatrical rights.
Because he doesn't want to use Weinstein anymore for good reason.
Yeah, right. And Universal's got, well, the rest of the world rights. Foreign. And the plot is 20 years later, after Jay and Silent Bob tried to go to Hollywood to stop them from making Jay and Silent Bob movie, and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back,
mm-hmm.
They found out that Hollywood is going to make a reboot movie about them, and they're going to go to Hollywood to stop it.
I get what he's doing.
Which they made a ton of money from it, as we saw in Clerks 2, so why would they not want that money?
Right.
Anyways, you see what he's doing?
I see what he's doing. You know, he's commenting on the reboot culture.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get back to, you know, he's trying to distance himself from his shit of Tusk and Yoga Hosers. He actually said on one of the podcasts recently, he was like, I had a revelation as I was laying there having my heart attack. He's like, one of the thoughts that went through my head was, oh my God, the last thing that I did was Yoga Hosers.
Yeah.
And he's like, just the thought that that's how I was going to leave my empire at the end. So he's trying to distance himself from that and get back to what made him popular. He already tried to do Clerks 3. He already tried to do Mallrats 2 and got everybody hyped up and then failed.
He did the same thing with Clerks 3. Yep. Got everyone hyped up and then pulled the plug.
Exactly.
Got everyone hyped up Mallrats 2 and pulled the plug.
Yep.
Moose Jaws. Is that ever coming out?
Nope. Because, again, he's trying to distance himself from that shit.
Well, actually, it says here 2020, but who knows? I was just looking up to find out.
He hasn't even started filmography on it, so I don't even know if he has a script.
Well, it says here in June 2018, during a live recording of his Fat Man on Batman, he said he'd secured funding for it. But now he's shooting
Jay and Silent Bob Reboot.
Jay and Silent Bob Reboot. So, I don't know. Like, I was a huge fan of his work.
I was as well.
I, you know, and this is what kind of sucks, because I loved Clerks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I absolutely loved Clerks. I loved
Mallrats. I used to make all of my friends watch it if they hadn't seen it.
That's why I watched it.
Yep.
I loved Mallrats.
Yes.
I thought Chasing Amy was tremendous.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
Dogma was great.
Dogma was phenomenal.
Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Okay. It was all right. We got to see the Clerks guys again, and we got to see all his characters. And
we got to see Suzanne.
This was supposed to be the wrap-up of his original Jersey trilogy, which now has become a quadrilogy or whatever it is, 5 movies.
Yeah.
And then we got Jersey Girl.
Which was dog shit. I couldn't even believe it was him.
Yeah. And I was like, So of course, what do you do when you make a shit movie? Go back to what you know. We got Clerks 2.
Which I liked.
I loved Clerks 2. I thought it was fantastic. It was a great flick. It looked like a low-budget flick. You know, I enjoyed it. I
love how they opened it in black and white.
Yep.
And Dante opens up the store and it's on fire and the fire's in color.
Yes.
And then you get the pan across and the whole world turns into color.
Yes. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was great. Then we got Zack and Mary Make a Porno.
Which was completely out of his wheelhouse.
But I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I loved it. I still to this day will watch that movie over and over again.
I thought it was great. Then we got Cop Out. And that was, I never watched it.
Cop Out was where everything went downhill. Because Cop Out was where he started his feud with Bruce Willis. And he learned to hate Bruce Willis because of how he was treated on set, how Bruce acted around him, etc. So he really took a hit as a director, because up until that point, as a director, he had had full control. Everyone had done what he had said.
Yes.
And he had no problem. Now suddenly he has this guy come in and he's like, you're a piece of shit. I know better than you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Also on Cop Out is where he first tried weed.
No, that was Zack and Mary Make a Porno.
I thought it was Cop Out.
No, it was Seth Rogen. So I remember Seth Rogen is the one who's like got him to do weed.
Really?
Yeah, oh, you'll love it, man. You'll love it. And to me, that's when he started going downhill.
After that.
Yeah, because but Bruce Willis did mention that he was smoking weed during Cop Out.
Okay.
Like, that was one of Bruce Willis' issues he had with him, was that he was smoking weed during the movie.
Right.
But for me, like, all right, so Zack and Mary Make a Porno I thought was great. But in the interim, we also got, you know, we got An Evening with Kevin Smith. An Evening Kevin Smith 2, Evening Harder, Sold Out, A 3 Evening with Kevin Smith. Those were all awesome. I enjoyed them. Because we got some great stories.
I enjoyed some of the stories, but one of the things that really bothered me was, I believe it was in the first one. Correct me. It was the first one and the second one, where somebody asked him a question about Cop Out.
No, that was not. Because that came out 2002, 2006, and 2008. The one you're thinking of that we watched together, which was Kevin Smith, Too Fat for 40. We got a question Cop Out, and then the whole fucking talk was him talking about Cop Out.
That's what it was.
And he didn't take another question.
Right.
Yes.
Because he spent an hour and a half
talking about Cop Out. Yep, that was Kevin Smith, Too Fat for 40. And then again, if you look at the how this came out, the progression of it, A 3 Evening with Kevin Smith came out before Zack and Mary Make a Porno.
Okay.
And Zack and Mary Make a Porno came out, and then Cop Out, and then Red State.
Yeah, Red State was another one that was just completely, like, I don't know what he was doing at the time. It was not something that was usual Kevin Smith. It was not something that was usual anybody.
No.
That was just
Red State was weird. Yeah. It was just weird. But after Red State, that's when he did Too Fat for 40.
Yep.
And then Kevin Smith, Burn in Hell. And I didn't care for either one of those.
Nope. I didn't either.
At all. And then I don't even like listen to his podcast, because when he's smoking pot on his podcast, his personality deteriorates and I don't want to hear it. And I don't want to hear him every 5 minutes going while I'm listening to it. So I stopped listening. Mm-hmm. And it kind of sucks because I look back at his early work and I'm just like, man, I really like what he did. I hate what he's doing.
Yeah.
Because Tusk was fucked up.
There was no need for Tusk.
No.
That came off being stoned and saying, just throwing out a random idea. And people were like, dude, you should do that.
Yeah.
And so he took the dare.
Right. Basically.
And then Yoga Hosers was fucking stupid as well, because that also came out of being stoned, and just wanted a vehicle for his daughter. Somehow he
got Johnny Depp in it?
Well,
because his daughter got a role in it. Never mind.
And his daughter was great friends with his daughter.
Yeah. And then now we have, you know, then we were supposed to get Moose Jaws for years, which was Jaws but a moose, mm-hmm. which of the three, that's the one I kind of wanted to see the most. And then he did a segment in the movie Holidays, and that was as well.
But he was supposed to give us Clerks 3.
Yep.
He was supposed to give us Mallrats 2. And told us that he had people lined up. He even had, like, you know, these people are coming back, these people aren't. You know, he had, like, a list of people that were signed up
for
it.
Which I understand, and probably in Hollywood, in movies all the time, people are signed up for things and things fall through or this, that, or whatever. But it was real kind of dickish.
Yeah. Because we all knew what was going on. Yeah. Was he just... He's not the man that he used to be.
No, he's changed a lot.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
And
I don't know him personally.
No.
So my public perception of him has changed a lot, is what I'm going to say.
Right.
He could have been this way the whole time, but we didn't see it.
Right.
But as much of himself, that he put out there, you know, with his movies, with the first three Q&As he did, plus his books, he all presented
Small Rats and Chasing Amy. I mean... Yeah. Before he was doing commercial stuff, he had these gems that were brilliantly done. Like, they were pieces of himself.
Yes.
He worked at the video store, you know? He was a mall rat, and Chasing Amy was all about him going after that girl that he could never get.
Right.
These were all personal stories to him. Dogma was his personal take on religion.
Exactly. Yes, it was.
You know?
And then Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back was his nod, all right, thanks for liking my last four movies. We're going to wrap it up with a stupid, crazy, way out there movie. And we're going to have all these weird cameos. And Mark Hamill's going to be in it. We're going to have a freaking lightsaber battle.
And I'm going to have my wife be in it because, you know, I'm a good husband. Shouldn't have been. Shouldn't have been.
And then with Clerks 2, he kind of brought us back.
Mm-hmm.
After Jersey Girl.
Yep.
He brought us back with Clerks 2, and I thought, oh, awesome. I love Clerks 2. I think it's still a great film to this day.
Absolutely.
But that's because he couldn't, after Jersey Girl, no one wanted to give him money to do anything. And then he proved himself.
Because he managed to take Ben Affleck, who was amazingly hot at the time.
And
George Carlin, who was a comic genius.
Yes, he is a comic genius.
And he managed to put both of them in a movie and make it a piece of shit.
Yeah. He blames the whole Bennifer thing, because Jennifer Lopez had that cameo in the beginning and she dies. And then they broke up when the movie came out, and that ruined the whole thing.
Mm-mm.
Allegedly.
No, I think that it was just a shitty movie. Like, he was way out of his wheelhouse. He was trying to do a romantic movie, a romantic family movie, which is not what he does.
No.
You know? It would be like Wes Craven doing a romantic family movie. It just, it's not heard of. Wes Craven does horror. That's what it is.
Yep. No, you're right.
Bryan Singer does thinking action movies.
Okay. So anyways, I'll watch it. Because I'll watch it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not excited about it.
I'm not going to go to the theaters.
No, I'll wait for home video.
Yeah.
And then my last, do you have any news?
I don't.
Okay, my last bit of news is CBS All Access strikes again. They are doing a 10 episode series of Stephen King's The Stand.
Is it finally going to be like R-rated?
Yes. I think? according to the thing.
That was always the thing that killed it before.
Yeah.
That's why it was so good this time around versus when it was a TV movie.
Yes. Yep.
Stephen King stuff is R-rated stuff.
Here's the thing, too. The original miniseries was 9 hours long, essentially. It was three-hour movies. So, I mean, basically it was
with commercials.
Right. But it was basically 9 hours long. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be 10 episodes. And if they're an hour long a piece, it'll be about the same length of time. So it's not like they're going to butcher it and make it shorter.
Right.
But with an R rating or TVMA rating, they can do it right. Like you said with It, the reason why It was better this time was because it was rated R.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It was really good.
I'm looking forward to It, too.
Mm-hmm. Comes out this year. Yeah. This October.
But that's all I got for news. That's all I got for trailers. That's all I got for stuff. That's it. That's all I got for a show this week.
That's all I got as well.
Coolio. Well, stickers coming on. I bet you my kid was peeling on that. Jerks. Anyways. Yeah, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed.
Okay.
After we do our wrap-up.
So why don't we do our wrap-up?
Yeah. Oh, what did my wife... Oh, my wife wanted to know if anyone actually likes Manifest. I don't think we said that last time.
We said that last time.
Okay, well, let us know. You can find me on Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
That's the show. See you later.